Please turn, if you would, to the book of Acts, the 13th chapter. Acts chapter 13. For some reason, the word doctrine scares people. But doctrine is just a rule or a principle. It is a teaching. Now, over the course of the past couple of months, we have been studying a confession of faith. And I remind you that a confession of faith is simply a declaration. The points of the confession are things which we believe. They are the rules or principles, and of course, it is what we teach. So we have been studying the doctrine of this church. I continue with our study as to what we believe. And lately, we have thought about our sins, how our sins are forgiven, and the manner in which they are atoned. Clearly, we are cleansed from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we receive that cleansing by the grace of God. And closely associated with these truths is our doctrine for today's lesson, justification. Man has sinned against God and is under condemnation. The question is raised, how can we be forgiven of our sin? Or as Job of the Bible expressed it, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Well, it is an age-old question, but fortunately one which the Bible gives an answer. Justification. Well, that's our lesson for today as we continue our study on what we believe. And so we believe, well, of justification. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege to be back in your house. Thank you for these that could be with us. And Lord, we pray for those that would love to be here and cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance, that you'd bless each one there and meet all those needs and heal the sick. But we've come together today to worship in spirit and in truth, and we desire to honor you. And so, Lord, bless as we now consider your word, speak to our hearts, draw us unto you, let us be good students. We do pray that any in our midst today that might be lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray that you would save the lost. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We pray that you would bless it, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, think about today, justification. Let me read to you the statement from the confession of faith. We believe that the great gospel blessing which Christ secures to such as believe in him is justification. That justification includes the pardon of sin and the gift of eternal life on principles of his righteousness. That it is bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, but solely through faith in the Redeemer's blood. His righteousness is imputed to us. And of course, there are verse references associated with that. The confession statement and the verses are found in the bulletin on the back of the prayer list. So the first thing I want to think about simply is, and we must start here, when we use the word justification, perhaps we may not be familiar with that term. It is a legal term, and when we use it in an application of the religious setting here in that, which we are discussing today, what is justification? So I'd like to define justification. I'm going to do this by sharing with you a brief quotation from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. It has a pretty good article on justification. And I'm going to share with you some of the outline, not all of it, and some of the supporting statements, not all of it. If you want to read that, you can always go to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia and do so. But I'm going to give you some of this information, after which I will give you a very brief definition given by another theologian, and then we will look into the verses that pertain to the subject itself. But from the matter of justification, the word justification itself, or to justify, in a legal sense, is a declaration of being just or righteous. It's a declaration of righteousness. Now, from the outline of the article itself, their first point dealt with the universality of sin, and the statement simply is this, that all men are not only born in sin, but they have committed many actual transgressions which render them liable to condemnation. Truth is, my friend, you are a sinner. So you need to understand that. But when we think about justification, that's the need for justification, is the fact that we have sinned. But the second point of the outline was the perfection of the law of God. And so we recognize the perfection of the law of God and the necessity of its perfect observance if justification is to come by it. If you say, well, I want to get to heaven by keeping the good works and keeping the law, if you could do all that, then you would be justified. The problem is if one indeed had kept the law, God would not hold him guilty, but such an obedience has never existed. In other words, you have sinned against God. You've never been obedient. You can't be obedient. You're already transgressed the perfect law of God. But that's the problem, is you're a sinner under condemnation as opposed to the perfect law of God and what God requires of us. That means we need to have something happen to us. We need to be righteous before we can be forgiven of our sin. Third point of the International Standard Bible and Encyclopedia dealt with the life, work, and death of the atoning Savior, and they said this. It was fundamental in Paul's thinking that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In due season, he died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. We are justified in his blood, and it is through him that we are saved from the wrath. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. There is no reconciliation, no justification, except through and by and for Christ. As sinners, we need righteousness. And we're not going to find that righteousness any other place but in Jesus Christ. That's the point. We need to be justified. Now, they said that faith, not works, is the means of justification. And I agree with that. And justification is the condition, or justification is by faith, and that rests upon the pure grace of God and is therefore itself a gift. Even the faith that we have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift from God. And then they dealt with the elements of justification, and there are two. One is the forgiveness of sin, so we must be forgiven of our sin. And the second element was a declaring or an approving approval as being righteous. And so in order for me as a sinner to be saved, I have to recognize I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness of my sin, and then I need righteousness. And that righteousness is only going to come through Jesus Christ. You can read the entire article in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia if you choose to do so, but hopefully that gives you an idea of where we're at and where we're going and why we believe in justification. And of course, we believe it because that's what the Bible teaches. But let me share with you one other definition, if I may. T.P. Simmons stated it this way, and I quote, "Justification is that instantaneous, everlasting, gracious, free, judicial act of God, whereby, on account of the merit of Christ's blood and righteousness, a repentant, believing sinner is freed from the penalty of the law, restored to God's favor, and considered as possessing the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ by virtue of all which he receives as an adoption as a son." And so with all this forgiveness, we're adopted as sons into the family of God. What a tremendous thing. I'm so glad that I'm saved today. If you're saved, you've been justified. That's the matter of justification. That's what we want to think about today. So we have these verses to concern ourselves with. And so first of all, when we look at that statement, that confession, we define for you justification. Well, this includes the pardon of sin. Acts chapter 13, where I've invited you to turn, the scripture that was given was verse 39, but I'm going to include verse 38. Excuse me, Acts chapter 13, verse 38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Justification allows for us to have the pardon of sins. Acts 13, 38, through Christ is preached the forgiveness of sins, and by him, verse 39 says, "all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, once again, as we continue, bear in mind, as a sinner, you need righteousness. Because you're already under condemnation. Where are we going to get that righteousness? This is where the doctrine of justification comes in. Notice very clearly verse 39. I want to hammer this all the way through, because we have so many people in our society, even among professing Christendom, that believes that they're getting to heaven by keeping the commandments of God. You say, well, that's hard to believe, but it is. Many people believe that, even among some professing Christians. Verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. How are you justified from all things? Well, it's not certain. It's not from the law, because it says, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And yet every one of us here today knows someone that believes they're getting to heaven by keeping the commandments of God. And yet it's very, very clear, isn't it? We need to have the pardon of sin. So let's pursue the other verses that are found in the confession. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We must have the pardon of sin. And Isaiah 53, that great prophetic statement about the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, that we might have the atonement and have forgiveness and cleansing. It tells us in verse 11, Isaiah 53, 11, we need to have pardon of sin, right? And it says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And we've talked about the atonement, and we've talked about how we receive that atonement. But notice that what Jesus Christ did is he hung on the cross, he suffered in our behalf, and he satisfied every legal demand of the law. And by his knowledge, it says, shall my righteous servant justify many. If you're going to be saved, you must be justified. And who is it that justifies? It is Jesus Christ who justifies. You have sin in your life. How can you be pardoned from that sin? It is through the provision of Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. I almost made this as a reference, but they listed it in their confession, and so I thought I would include it, but Zechariah chapter 13 verse 1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. The fountain is a picture of the washing away of sin. The scripture is given here for the description of how we're sinners and we can have a pardon for our sin. Justification includes the pardon of sin. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. What a tremendous verse this is as we read. I'm thankful for truths such as this. Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No more condemnation. If you are saved today, if you have been justified, there is no more condemnation. You're not under the condemnation of sin any longer. You can have pardon for your sin. Let me read to you in an adjoining text over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 11. Prior to that, Paul talks to the Corinthian people about how that, well, you know, there are people that are not going to go to heaven, and he gives a whole listing of people that are not going to get to heaven, such as thieves or covetous or drunkards or revilers or extortioners. He says, these shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Sinners, right? And so in verse 11 it says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's what you used to be. But now you've been washed, you are justified, you are declared righteous. We can have the pardon of sin. Today, perhaps you might, and you're in Romans chapter 8, right? Go back to chapter 5. But today you might be here and you might say, well, you know what, preacher? God can't save me because I've done too much. I've gone too far. I'm so sinful that God will not forgive me. I want you to recognize that all sinners are in the same boat. All sinners have transgressed the laws of God. All sinners need the righteousness of God, and that righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. You are not beyond hope. God can save anyone whom He chooses to save. You can have pardon for your sins. Dear sinner, you must be justified. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, much more than, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. How can you be forgiven of your sin and have a home in heaven and avoid hell? You must be justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then you're saved from wrath through him. Skip to verse 11. Because verse 10 talks about our reconciliation. Verse 11 says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. How can my sins be forgiven? It must be paid for, and it must be atoned for. And how are our sins atoned? We sang a song in our service this morning, there's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ can my sins be washed from me. But not only do I receive the atonement through Christ, the righteousness which I need comes through Christ. So look in the first verse of chapter 5, book of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be saved today, my friend, the only way you can be saved is through the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be justified, but when you're justified, you have peace with God. And that's the only way to have that peace with God. So that confession of faith, talking about the matter of justification, tells us that justification includes the pardon of sin. But it also includes the gift of eternal life by Jesus Christ's righteousness. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter 3. Not only the pardon of sin, but we also receive eternal life, very important, and we receive that eternal life by Christ's righteousness. First of all, Titus chapter 3. I said unto you earlier that I was going to hammer this matter because, again, so many people yet believe these kind of things, that they can get to heaven by their good works and keeping the commands of God. Listen to what the Scripture says. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Last week we talked about the new birth, and it talks about the regeneration, renewing by the Holy Ghost. The new birth, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So I've been made from death, brought from death unto life, so I can have eternal life. And the only way that can happen in me is through the provision of Jesus Christ and what he's provided for me, the atonement and the righteousness. God gives me life and credits Christ's righteousness to my account. And it's by his mercy and by its grace. And so we talk about the gift of God is eternal life, is it not? Does it not? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Gift, isn't it? We're saved by grace. Even the faith that we need to believe is a gift of God. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Dear sinner, today you're under condemnation. You're staring hell in the face, eternal death. But you can have life. Everlasting life. You can have pardon from your sin. But how are you going to have this pardon from sin? You need to know that it's a gift of God. And so we read the all-familiar Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. And you sinned, haven't you? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. As you turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, we read in Titus 3, 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yes, my friend, justification includes the pardon of sin, and it includes the gift of eternal life by Christ's righteousness. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, I add this verse to the list. You hath he quickened. That word quickened means to be made alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. If you're saved today, you've been justified, you have new life in Christ, and you have peace with God. But salvation is by grace through faith, apart from works. And I'll say that again and again and again. But you must have life, and that life comes from where? Comes from God. Remember, and we noticed this last week, John chapter 3, verse 3. Remember, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's born from above. Go, if you would, to the book of Romans, the first chapter. So this issue of justification, in the definition itself, I mentioned unto you that we're sinners and we're under condemnation, and, well, we can't fix that. So when we think about this matter of being forgiven, it's because we've received the atonement of the Lord and we've been justified. So justification by definition includes the pardon of sin and includes the gift of eternal life by Christ's righteousness, but it's abundantly necessary for us to recognize that it's bestowed by grace through faith. How is it that I can be justified? The statement read this way, that it is bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, which we just read in Titus 3:5, but solely through faith in the Redeemer's blood, his righteousness is imputed to us. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. By the way, you have to look at verse 16, find what that is. That's the gospel. In the gospel is revealed, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. How are you going to be saved, my friend? The just shall live by faith. This is also found in the book of Habakkuk in the second chapter in verse 4 at the latter part of the verse. It says, but the just shall live by his faith. If you go over to the book of Galatians and look into chapter 3, I invite you to turn over there, Galatians chapter 3. In verse 11, notice what Paul wrote to the Galatians. And by the way, the Galatians were a group of people who were believers, but people had crept in saying, well, you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And so they were trying to incorporate the law of God into the matter of salvation, which was a dreadful error. And Paul writes to the Galatians to correct their error. But notice what he says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. See what it says. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. And I'll tell you, there are thousands upon thousands today that are sitting in services, and there are preachers that are preaching, and they're saying, you must keep the commandments, and you must do this, and you must do that, and you have to be obedient, and you have to hang on and cling on and hold on. And yet Paul wrote and said, it is evident that a man is not justified by the law in God's sight. Maybe in man's sight, but not in God's sight. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. My friend, if you're going to be forgiven of your sin and have a home in heaven, how are you going to receive that? It is only by faith. Do you understand that? You say, well, I got to join the church, and I got to be baptized, and I got to eat communion, and I got to give money to the church, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. That's how I'm going to get into heaven. My friend, it is evident that the just shall live by faith. You need to be justified, and that justification comes by grace through faith, and that faith is found in Jesus Christ. So verse 11 makes it very clear. Skip to verse 24, Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The law, the Ten Commandments, were brought in to teach us something, a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Not that we'd be saved by the law, but we'd be justified by faith. And as a sinner, you need to be justified. So go, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to spend a little bit of time here in Romans 3 and 4. The confession listed Romans chapter 4. I've added Romans chapter 3. So let's just take a few moments here. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, we need righteousness, remember? The righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, notice, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Do you see what the Word of God is teaching us? It tells us that as sinners, we can't be justified by the law. Makes it very clear. But we do and can receive righteousness. And where's that righteousness? It's without the law because it's the righteousness of Christ. And so that righteousness of Christ, verse 22 says, it comes by faith upon everyone that believes. And why would that be? Verse 23, all familiar text says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then he says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. As a sinner, I needed to be pardoned of my sin. I needed righteousness. I needed to be justified. How is that going to happen? Through something that I did? Through the life which I lived? Through the religion which I produced? No, my friend. We're justified freely by His grace. Through what? What was the merit? The redemption that is found in Christ Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus left heaven, came to earth to become a man so He would be live a perfect life. He was crucified, buried, risen again. He became a substitute for sinners. We talked about the atonement. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the sacrifice which He made can we receive righteousness. And not only for the righteousness of sins which are past, but the righteousness for the sins that we've committed, and I'll tell you, for the ones that we'll also commit. We need righteousness. And that righteousness comes through Jesus Christ, and it says in verse 26, the latter part of verse, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus Christ. I've been justified. Who justified me? Christ justified me. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Can anybody get to heaven and say, I'm here because I've done this, I've done that, I've lived a good life, and I kept the commandments, and I was baptized? Can anybody do that? Boasting's excluded. So he comes to this conclusion, verse 28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That seems really clear to me. Does that seem clear to you? Dear sinner, does that seem clear to you? So when they tell you you've got to be baptized in order to wash away your sin, what should you do? You should hold on. Stop the train. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Skip to chapter 4. Romans 4 offers us an illustration here about Abraham and then a description for us. This is verse 1 down through verse 8. What shall we say then that Abraham our father has pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham, what did he do? He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The righteousness which he needed was credited to his account, and it was accredited because of faith. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So verse 4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You think you're getting to heaven by your good works? It says it's not of grace, it's a debt. God owes you. But I'll tell you, God doesn't owe you anything. You know why? Because you cannot get to heaven by your works. Cannot do it. Abraham's a great example of that. And it was through his faith that it was counted for righteousness. So the Paul continues in verse 6, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. And if you're saved today, you're justified. What a blessing it is to have the righteousness of Christ without works. It was imputed to you without works. So he says in verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Wow, what a blessing. I'm justified in the eyes of God today simply because of His grace and because of His mercy, not because of anything that I have done. I needed righteousness, and He forgave my sin and imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to my account. Turn to one other text, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I submit unto you that this justification is bestowed by grace through faith. One more verse in connection with this, and then I have three references and I'll be finished. Hebrews 10 verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. 10:38. And if any man draw back, my soul shall not have no pleasure in him. But you know, he goes on in verse 39, says that we are not of those that draw back. But what's he say? He says, the just shall live by faith. How are you saved today? If you're saved, if you're justified, you've been saved by faith. There is no other way. No other way. I think the confession is clear that we needed to be justified and that we receive that justification, the pardon of sin and the gift of God of eternal life, and we received it by grace through faith. Consider then this. Go to one place more, Galatians chapter 2, one place, and then I'll go one more. Galatians 2. As I finish, I want to make it very clear, if I haven't already been clear enough, but that salvation is by grace through faith apart from works. Here's what Paul says, and this is a long verse, and it kind of compounds itself a little bit, but if you just think about what he's saying, it's clear. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Something you can know, isn't it? You need justification. You're not saved or justified by the works of the law. You're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. He says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Notice this clear statement. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How are you going to be saved, my friend? Through faith in Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10. As a sinner, you need righteousness. Where are you going to get that righteousness? What the Apostle Paul does in Romans chapter 10 is he makes reference to the Jews, to his own nation. And notice this statement. You may not be a Jew, but you might be trying to get to heaven by your own righteousness. See what he says. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What's that saying? The righteousness which we need is found in Jesus Christ. But if you're going about to establish your own righteousness, you've not submitted to the righteousness of God. Hence, you're lost. So I close with Romans 5:20. Listen to verse 20, the latter part of the verse, verse 21. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so glad that the salvation I have was provided for, paid for, Jesus Christ. He did everything necessary, and He took my sin upon Himself, and He credited to my account His righteousness. And when He did that, I was justified. And I have peace with God. And that's the only means of salvation, my friend. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, left heaven, came to earth, died on a cross for sinners, that you might have eternal life. You're a sinner, you're under condemnation, you need righteousness. Quit trying to do it in your own power. Quit trying to do it in your own religion. Quit trying to do it in any way, other form. You must surrender. You must submit to the righteousness of Christ. And you need to cry out to God for mercy, and it's appropriated by faith. That's what He said. So my friend, if you're a sinner here today, you're going to be saved. You're saved by grace through faith apart from works in the provision of Jesus Christ. Would you be justified today? And if you're justified, would you rejoice in that justification because of God's grace and mercy in your behalf? Let's stand. Father, we recognize that sometimes when we deal with issues like this, that sometimes it's hard to be understood. And I just pray that You would teach us and direct our hearts through Your Word. And I do pray especially for those that are lost, that Lord, help them to see that they need righteousness, but that righteousness can only come through Jesus. And I ask that You would work in their heart, convict them of their sin, draw them to You, grant life, they would repent and believe. And Father, we pray that You would justify them today. Thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for what You're going to do. We give You the honor and the glory and the praise. It's due unto You and to none other, because there is no other God but You. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 326.